B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
We were able to hook up with Phil Martelli. He was in meetings with his Michigan basketball team. And, of course, he needs no introduction now. An assistant coach to Juwan Howard at the University of Michigan, longtime the St. Joseph's Hawks coach, who was there every day when some 16-year-old kid named Kobe Bryant from the Way would wander into the gym and join pickup games. We welcome Phil Martelli. Phil, how you doing?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
It's a tough day in Philly, as you can imagine, yeah. With this whole thing. And, you know, one of the things I thought about was the beginning and this legend of Kobe that grew, that actually started at the St. Joe Fieldhouse. And I know you were there for the whole thing. Can you share some stories and what it was like to see that develop?
Well, I was thinking about it overnight, Mike, and the first time I heard Kobe's name was John Griffin and I interviewed Joe Bryant to be an assistant coach. John was the head coach. He asked me to participate in the interviews. And during the course of the interview, Joe said to us, I have a 13-year-old son who has been playing in Italy, but when he gets here, he'll go wherever I'm working. And he's going to be an all-timer. And I remember rolling my eyes, and Joe left, and John and I had a discussion and said, man, that's a real proud dad. And here we are today. And he is an all-timer. And the stories of the pickup games pale in comparison, though, Mike, to what took place. Kobe's junior and senior year at Lower Merion, he would play Tuesday and Friday night, and he would be playing Radnor or Pencrest or Upper Darby or whomever on a Tuesday or Friday night. On Wednesday and Thursday night, he used to come over to the Fieldhouse. And as you know, the Fieldhouse, we had the court where the teams practiced. And then we had a rec complex right next door, four courts, none of them wood. Kobe was on a guest list, as were almost every good player in Philadelphia. They would come over, and some guys would take advantage of it and come over, and they would play pickup with, you know, Mike from the third floor dorm or whatever it would be. And they would get their run in, and they would go home. Kobe would come in, first of all, every day that he came in, he would poke his head in my office and say, thank you for letting me in. And then he would go on a backcourt, and he would be running with a parachute. He'd be with a guy who was holding a rope as Kobe was working on his footwork or his speed. Very rarely did he pick up a basketball, and he was always in the back. And there were no students. There was nobody that really knew. But every Wednesday and Thursday, and it was just this work ethic that was extraordinary and was different. So when the idea came around that he was going to skip the draft, skip high school, it wasn't a surprise because he had really worked for that moment in time. The pickup game and the, you know, the stories, and I'm sure they've been repeated about what he did with the Sixers, that was really orchestrated by John Lucas. John Lucas kind of ran the gym. He let in who he wanted to let in. And Kobe kind of bypassed the college guys. So it wasn't like he was coming to the Fieldhouse and playing pickup with my guys. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was going to Villanova. Jay would know better than I would. But he was coming and testing himself against the pros. Some of them were wannabe pros, and some of them were legit pros, and some of them were draft picks. And he was playing in those games. And every day when you would be in that tiny office, which was right next to the court, somebody would come in and say, you can't believe what he just did, or he's the best player on the court. And it wasn't a golden year, obviously, for the Sixers. But I didn't know how much of it was the Philadelphia hype and how much of it was real, because there wasn't a lot of time that I spent watching the pickup. But he was there, and he was the lone non-pro that was included in those games by John Lucas.
I mean, these stories are incredible because you've been around kids your whole life in coaching. The mentality it takes, like he's 15, coming into the gym with a parachute. He's got the confidence to go up against pro players. I mean, you don't see that.
Mike, and how about go a step further? How about the character to poke his head in my office and say thank you? Like, it's mind-blowing. And you know, there was a lot of criticism. Well, why is he skipping college? And he could have gone to any school in America. And his dad was an assistant at LaSalle, and he should have gone to LaSalle for a year. Some people are preordained. But with that being preordained, he worked, and I would say to people, you know what? Whatever he gets, he has worked to get there. It wasn't given to him, and it wasn't, you know, because your dad was in the NBA, you deserve to be in the NBA. And just when you take the visual, you know, there's so many pictures out there. But if you go back and find the picture of his first interview as a pro, and then compare him to like the physique, that took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. And could anybody do it? No, you have to have a certain skill. But he worked for everything that he got.
Yeah, and you just wonder where a mindset like that comes from. He grew up in Italy, so he grew up with a well-rounded background. But his father was an immensely talented player, but he didn't have that kind of mentality.
No. Joe didn't have that mentality, and maybe a lot of that era didn't have that mentality. You know, there was a certain point in time, Mike, where this crossed over into these players realized that they had to spend hours on their private corporation, basically, and that everybody got a guy. You know, I had a workout guy. He was with a guy who orchestrated and ran those workouts. So there was a vision that wasn't common at that time. And I think that it's been emulated by all of these players. Now, you want to have, you really aspire to be a champion, then here's what it takes. Mike, I locked him, and hopefully, you know, like there's a statute of limitations on this. I locked him in the St. Joe Fieldhouse on July 4th one day. I locked him in the building. The building was closed. There was no security around. I was in there getting ready for recruiting, which started on July 5th. I was going to be on the road for most of July. I heard the ball bouncing. I poked my head out, and Kobe was in there shooting and working out with Lynn Greer, who was a high school player at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynn Greer and Kobe were working. I went back in. I did some more work. I got up. I said, you know what? It's July 4th. I'm going to get out of here. I walked in. They were in a full sweat. And I just said, something came over me. And I didn't say, you guys have to go because I'm not going to be here. I said, listen, you know what door to go out. No one else comes in. And if security comes by, just bail coach out and say, coach just said he's grabbing his lunch and he'll be right back. I locked him in there as a 15. He was 16 years old.
And he must have stayed there for several more hours.
He may have. I don't think he was worried about, you know, fireworks or anything. He was worried about it improving his game.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're talking to Phil Martelli, now an assistant at Michigan. Phil, I don't know if you know this, but I tell you something I've wondered, because you see what kids do today that are immensely talented. They go to these basketball academies. They go to schools that are created to mm-hmm. put a great basketball yes. team on. Yep. And he went to school at Lower Merion. He stayed at Lower Merion. Even he had this all-world talent. Do you know the story behind that?
I don't. But I do know this, Mike. I have thought about this overnight. Look, Philadelphia's hurting. The basketball community's hurting. The Philadelphia basketball community, which is very tight, is hurting. I think that all of us have to take time to think about Lower Merion and Greg Downer. And Kobe's name is on their gym. That's a public school. And I don't know all the you know better with your legal background, but, you know, a public high school – to name something after somebody seems to be kind of a messy subject, very involved. But that's what he did. And I can tell you number of times that I've talked to Greg Downer, and Greg Downer said, oh, I just got back from L.A. I went to the finals game. Or,
yeah.
or you know, we needed this to take care of the kids to go to a camp at wherever. And Kobe took care of it. He never, ever forgot. And yeah, he put on a little bravado when they were in the finals and he had a lot to say. But go check the YouTube video of him celebrating the Eagles' Super Bowl win. He was a Philadelphian yeah. through and through. And I think that the challenges that they all face, and all these young gifted players, go to this prep school, go to that prep school, you know, don't worry about education. Nah, that wasn't Kobe. Kobe was going to honor his family by staying at Lower Merion and staying with Greg Downer.
And he honored his teachers, too, that taught him science and English and math. And because I know that he told me personally about it, one teacher that had an influence on him. Phil, this has been great. I know you're in a different kind of mindset now. This is you're coaching in just a fantastic league. I'm just curious to know what that's like on a day-to-day basis in that Big Ten and the difference being in that kind of, you know, the frenzy.
Mike, it's exhausting, but it's like a real adrenaline boost. I would say to you that every game feels like the second game of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. So it's a 1-8 matchup, it's a 2-7 mm-hmm. matchup, it's a 3-6, it's a 4-5. And from afar, I always thought this was a bruise it, you know, bang them, leg, and all they did was worry about, you know, guarding and guarding and guarding and guarding. The offensive minds in this league are challenging. They are extraordinary. It's been just an unbelievable experience, and obviously we've taken our bruises, but that's the only way I could describe it, is that every one of these teams has size at all positions, and they have offensive minds. This is coaching at the highest level in this league.
Phil, how interesting is it for you now as a recruiter on a completely different level to go into the house of, like, you're not limited at all. You can go into any house recruiting at this level. Is it different?
Well, yeah, it's different, but it's still relationship-driven. It's still... Like, for my time at St. Joseph's, I was only interested in recruiting guys that wanted to win a championship. And yes, I talked about winning a national championship. And I talked about them pursuing their dream and becoming an NBA player. So that's not really, that's not there. And they just want to know that you're genuine. That you're going to take care of them in the good times and the bad. And that's certainly one part of it. The other thing is that Juwan's presence in the basketball world is just overwhelming. So we are able to pick up the phone and get connected. And the entree into a home is there because of what he's done and what he's done as a man, not what he's done in the Fab Five, because most of these kids don't know it, and even some of their families might not know it. But it has been just, it's been exciting and it's been challenging because sometimes you're used to talking to people about, you know, what 4 years at a school can do for you. And in some cases now, I'm talking to people about, listen, 1 year, here's where we can take this. If you do your part, we'll do our part. So we're not shying away from that. If that's the young man's destiny and he's worked hard enough, then we will be supportive of it. But, and in order to play in this league, those are the kind of guys that you have to be in front of.
Well, I know one thing. There ain't no Larry's Belly Filler in Ann Arbor. But by the way, that was one of Kobe's favorite spots right there.
It was Kobe's favorite spot, but I'll give you a quick one. I went down the street one day. This was when I first got here, and there's a place called Mr. Spots, and it said home of the Philadelphia original sandwiches. And I parked, and people will laugh about this. I was going in to get a haircut, you know, the 5 minutes that it takes to spin me around in a chair. And I poked my head in, and I looked at the guy, and I said, I'll be back, and I'll be the determining factor if this is an original. And I walked in, and there's a wall dedicated to Tom Brady. Tom Brady has this spot. Mr. Spots has them cater every time he plays in Detroit. And I said, Tom Brady. I said, yeah, that's beautiful. In Philadelphia, if you say Tom Brady, the first thing somebody says is he stinks. I said, he threw for 505 yards in that Super Bowl, but he stinks. And the guy goes, yeah, because of him. And they pointed to Brandon Graham. They had a Polaroid picture of Brandon Graham sacking him because that's where Brandon Graham goes when he comes here.
Oh, is that right? So was it a legit Philly sandwich?
It's a legit, the role.
Not there yet. Phil, listen, a pleasure touching base with you, man. Thank you for all your stories. All right.
Thanks for including me.
Phil Martelli with some interesting stories about Kobe in the old days. And that's interesting. I never knew that he would do the parachute workout 2 days a week between high school games. Seriously, think about that. You're 15. I know, it's just like, where do you develop that kind of mindset? I guess it's like you grow up, you watch your father play pro ball in Italy, and there's all a frenzy in Europe the way it's different. And you just get intoxicated with it, and you want to do it.
And everybody wants to be better. He didn't want to just have to play a little bit in the NBA and play in Italy. He wants to be better than his father.
Yeah.
So that probably had a lot to do with it.
Well, and that's, they from, you know, everything I've read, his mindset applied to every facet of his life, too. So when I've been saying in my updates, Academy Award for Best Animated Short Film, he called, like, J.K. Rowling every day to get advice. Like, he wanted to talk to the greats at what they did to find out how he too could become
amazing.
Great.
He had a lit up mind.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.